We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Alexander. McCollum staying with him. Spins, gets inside. Left-handed off the glass. Oh, what a sweet move.
Giddy, tough spot. Backdoor. What a pass. What a play. And J-Dub picks the pocket of Trae Young. He'll take it himself.
This isn't Dart. You're listening to the Uncontested.
What is up, Thunder fans, and welcome to the Uncontested Postgame Podcast Edition. I am your host for tonight, going solo, Taylor Peterson. Hopefully I do not choke live on the podcast again, especially with nobody else to witness co-host, because that could obviously be bad. But what a fun game that we have to break down tonight as the Thunder beat the Dallas Mavericks 126-119 and are back atop of the Western Conference, which is really exciting. We have so much to break down here. Can't wait to get into it. First of all, before we get any further, really want to give a shout out to everybody in the chat. It's so cool. Before I even fire up the podcast, I just start the room. You all are already in the comments, and not only that, but you're welcoming each other. You're saying hi to one another. You recognize everybody, the regulars, the degenerates, as Jacob has dubbed everyone, which again is the highest of compliments. It's really, really cool to see you all interacting with one another, much less us. So thank you all for tuning in. Be sure to continue to drop your comments and questions, and I will do my best to get through them here towards the end of the podcast. Before we get any further, we are a proud part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and proudly sponsored by Dave's Hot Chicken and Spark OKC. I'll be sure to dive into each of those here later on. And if you don't already, be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. If you leave us a five-star rating, it makes us very happy. We've gotten some really great ones here recently, which makes us, again, very happy and honestly just really helps the show. And we appreciate that so much. Just like all of you all jumping on and here at, 12:17 Central Time, a week after Daylight Savings, hyping up the chat. Those five-star reviews and just your interaction means a lot to us as well. Obviously, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and TikTok, all the above. I go through these like stretches on TikTok. I'm in charge of the Uncontested TikTok, if you guys weren't aware, where I seem to do a good job there for a while, and then I kind of forget about it, where meanwhile, Nick, our own Nick Crane, who was actually live covering the game for us tonight, which was really cool. Be sure to tune in to his socials for some of that content. But he's done a great job on our YouTube, posting some of those reels. So I need to step up my game and match none other than Nick Crane. So thank you all again for tuning along. But let's just go ahead and dive into the super, I guess it's a fun game. It's a fun game because the Thunder won, but it was a grind of a game. Like I said, the Thunder beat the Mavs 126-119, and they prevail and are now back in first place in the Western Conference standings. Technically, they're tied now with the Denver Nuggets in regards to record, but they hold that tiebreaker, which is significant, especially after that first game, the first home game of the season that I was at in person, where they just got absolutely destroyed by Denver, for the Thunder to be able to respond and be able to get that tiebreaker. It's just huge moving forward. We've talked a little bit about that on our group podcast and the remaining schedules for each of these teams at the top of the West. Still going to be tough for the Thunder. They have some big matchups coming up but none against these other teams at the top of the West. So something to keep an eye on. Just some game notes really quick that I think are really worth mentioning before we dive into our big overall themes. The Mavs were on a second night of a back-to-back. And obviously, the big thing here, no Luka Doncic. After leaving the game last night with hamstring soreness, he did not make the trip to OKC. He's back in Dallas getting evaluated. Hopefully, it's not a serious injury for Luka. But I'm going to be honest, not just me, this is my personal opinion, but I also have seen a lot of Thunder fans sharing the same opinion. We would have really liked to see Luka tonight because, again, as we come down the stretch of the regular season here, and this Thunder team is gearing up for the playoffs, they've struggled with the Mavericks some this season, and it would have been really nice to kind of see a full, healthy Mavericks team and see that Shea. There's already the Shea-Luka discourse, some rivalry starting to happen between the two and between the two different fan bases of OKC and the Mavericks. It would have been nice to see Luka playing tonight, but that wasn't the case. Also, Josh Green, almost said Jalen Green, went down with an unfortunate injury after I believe he stepped on somebody. I can't remember if it was a Thunder player or one of his own players, but he was out the rest of the game. That happened in the first half. So the Mavericks are very shorthanded tonight, unfortunately. Dub was back. Thank goodness. Speaking of not being shorthanded for the Thunder, with no limit restriction, no minutes restriction, which was huge. Another pregame note here, Shea pulls up in the Cybertruck yet again. We saw this here last week, I believe. Obviously got his Tesla Cybertruck in, which is awesome. Comes in with like this chain link, this whatever you call it. I'm going blank here. Essentially, the chain link vest has his grills in. I mean, he obviously walked in wanting to put on a show tonight. He kind of did. We'll get into that with my big themes. But to see that, I mean, I think Jacob tweeted out like Shea 50 piece. That was not the case tonight, unfortunately. But just insane from Shea. Just putting on the superstar show on and off the court. Dub, speaking of players wearing things, Dub wore a Slam Magazine cover shirt for warmups. The Slam t-shirt of him, the Slam cover t-shirt, whatever I'm trying to say. Him, Shea, Chet, and Giddy. I thought that was really cool. And that's after he warmed up two nights ago, even though he didn't play, and the Kenrich Williams TCU jersey retirement shirt, which was really cool. So kind of something to monitor, another fun theme with Dub. And then a fun stat from the TNT broadcast tonight that I actually hadn't really thought of. And when they said it, makes sense. Shea had scored 30-plus points against every Western Conference team this season, except this team they played tonight, the Dallas Mavericks. Well, he continued that streak. He has now officially scored 30-plus points against every team in the Western Conference after tonight's game, which we will get into as well. So just kind of some fun pregame notes there. And like I mentioned, some big takeaways. There's a lot of takeaways that we can get into from tonight's game. But the five main ones that kind of came to my head as I was going through and putting my notes together. Dub is ascending to superstar status before our very eyes. And he's doing it on the big stage. We saw it yet again with another huge national TV game from J-Dub. That's been the theme this season. Another conflicting performance from Shea. And I kind of alluded to that here just a little bit ago. We'll be sure to get into that. Shea had his 30 points again. He was fantastic as a whole. But I kind of would have liked to see a little more from him, especially when it comes to, just selfishly, when it comes to the MVP conversation on the national stage tonight. I'm not sure he fully took advantage of that. We'll get into that theme as well. The OKC defense still prevails. Some slow starts to start games here after the All-Star break for the OKC defense, but they continue to be a huge huge crush that this Thunder team can fall back on, and that wins them basketball games at the end of the day. The Giddy conundrum. Giddy had another solid game. I'm happy with Giddy's performance, but we saw what that looks like when Giddy, maybe for the first time all season, where Giddy is still playing well, but how that looks when teams are guarding him a certain way. Excited to get into that one. And then Cason Wallace is special is my fifth one here. And then I have a little bonus, poor refereeing. I don't want to just harp on the refs, but there were certainly some interesting calls there that we will get into. So let's go ahead and dive into all of these. My first one, like I mentioned, is Dub is ascending to superstar status before our very eyes. 27 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 11 of 21 from the field, 3 of 5 through steal. But here we go. This is the maybe the highlights from tonight's game for Dub. And this is what leads me to my conclusion that Dub is ascending to superstar status before our very eyes. 3 blocks, and those blocks were significant, especially 2 of them. First one came in the first half. Kyrie picked Dub at the top of the key. He's going in transition. Typically, that's an easy layup for Kyrie, who played a fantastic game with Luka out. And here comes Dub out of nowhere in full LeBron James mode, chase down block. Shout out to your friends over at the Chase Down podcast covering the Cleveland Cavaliers. Dub chases Kyrie down for a huge block, saves the layup. He even gets a little smile, a little side grin, and a little tap on the leg from Kyrie, giving him some props because Kyrie was not expecting that. That was a huge highlight. And then he does it again, something very similar. 6 minutes left in the third, Derrick Jones Jr. gets a steal, runs in transition. I believe it was a steal. Maybe it was just a rebound. Doesn't matter. Derrick Jones Jr. is going in transition. He's a big-time dunker. He was thinking he had another wide-open layup. Here comes Dub from the weak side in transition and blocks him as well. Just some insane blocks. I'm obviously not doing those justice at all. Be sure to go and look at the highlights. I think I had quite a few of them over on the podcast account tonight, on the Twitter account. But just insane from Dub to make those huge plays. And then that wasn't even the best of it. I mean, we can get into his game as a whole. We got to his spots per usual, performed well yet again in the fourth quarter. And there was times there when, especially when Shea was out, the second year really kind of struggled. I don't actually have that as a theme, but that is certainly something that stood out from this game. When you're playing Josh Giddey, Dub, Gordon Hayward, I believe Chet was in there at some points. You had Jay Will at some points, Kendrick Williams at some points, and then like at Cason Wallace or Aaron Wiggins. Again, Aaron Wiggins just continues to not play enough, in my opinion, which is really unfortunate. And especially with Kendrick not playing so well, didn't see a lot of Kendrick tonight. So this is just a quick aside, but those second units really struggled, especially in the first half without Shea. And again, the second half, there to begin the fourth quarter, but Dub continues to stabilize those second units and really just continues to, again, show why he is so special and just continues to grow as a player. But I'm saying all this to lead up to kind of the exclamation point of Dub's game tonight, a dagger dunk to end the game. He misses an open 3. I mean, I think there's like less than a minute left. I don't have the timestamp here. Kaysen gets the rebound. Again, another huge thing for Kaysen. We'll get into Kaysen here. He finds Dub cutting because Dub immediately cuts after he sees Kaysen get that rebound. And that's such a huge thing for this Thunder team. I really appreciated the TNT broadcast kind of talking about some of that off-ball movement that the Thunder are so great at that leads to them being a great offensive team, even when they aren't necessarily just lighting it up from outside like they were a couple of games ago against the against the Memphis Grizzlies. So Dub cuts down the lane for an exclamation point of a dunk to just basically the dagger of the game. Dub was just phenomenal. I also thought he played fantastic defense. I even tweeted out from the account. Dort, it's kind of a theme with Dort. Obviously, Dort is an incredible lockdown point of attack defender, but he struggles more with the smaller scorers, ball handlers, in comparison to some of the bigger wing scorers, like the Luka Doncic and the, you could throw LeBron James in there, Paul George's, the James Harden's. The James Harden is the big one, but struggles with the Kyrie's and even the Devin Booker's at times. And we saw that a little more tonight. Dort but didn't play the best game necessarily. And I thought Dub and also Kaysen were fantastic on Kyrie. And I thought Dub was much better on Kyrie than Dort was tonight. So again, just post-game podcast, I could go on about Dub for the entirety of the podcast, but I thought he was fantastic. My next one here is another conflicting performance from Shea. Looking at his stat line, if you were to tell me that the Thunder were going to win this game, say like 2 nights ago before I knew everybody was going to be out for the Mavericks, or Luka was going to be out for the Mavericks, if you told me that Shea had 31 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, he was going to shoot over 50% from the floor, and he's going to have 15 free throw attempts to make the majority of them, he was going to have 2 steals, I'd be pretty happy with that. So he ends the night with 31 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 9 of 16 from the floor, like I alluded to. But again, 1 of 4 from the 3. The free throws were huge. I thought they were not necessarily a saving grace for Shea. Obviously, if I'm going to complain about the refs later, I know that Mavs fans are not going to be happy about those free throw attempts for Shea. That being said, I thought a lot of them were deserved. But it still feels like Shea is struggling to get into a rhythm offensively. And I'm being a little selfish here. Again, it was a great game from Shea. I'm not like trying to complain. I mean, whenever, like I mentioned, you read off that stat line, there's not a lot to complain about. But on the national stage, I would have liked to see him, A, get more shot attempts. For example, he had 16 field goal attempts to J-Dub's 21 tonight, which I love. I mean, Dub's fantastic. That's not a bad thing on any given night. But on the national stage, I would have liked to see Shea take on a bigger role and hit some of those shots that we saw him miss. There were more forced three-point attempts tonight. That's been a theme here over the past 2 weeks that I really have noticed, even some forced mid-range. He really seems to get frustrated, or has been getting frustrated, when those shots aren't falling, and he seems tired. I think I mentioned this on last night's group podcast, but I think it was 2 nights ago when they were playing the Pacers, he was shown on the bench saying, like, I'm tired. And it's kind of showing. Now, all that being said, the fact that Shea is still able to have 31 points and like the stat line that I mentioned is just absolutely absurd. I say all this to say that we aren't seeing the best version of Shea. I think that's still to come. And selfishly, I wish that would have happened on the national stage for his MVP campaign. But just kind of a stat to put all that into perspective. Most games of 30 plus points in a season since the post-merger of the NBA, ABA, in history, Shea is currently at 49 30-plus points games this season. That puts him 10th all-time behind players like Michael Jordan, T-Mac, Kobe, Harden. Harden's actually at third with 57. MJ leads the entire league in NBA history with 67 30-plus point games. But here's the thing. Shea still has 16 games to go. That's pretty phenomenal, especially if he's, quote-unquote, not playing his best basketball. Like, what a special basketball player. So that's kind of my... getting into the conundrum that I mentioned there. I would have liked to see Shea have a bigger game tonight on the national stage, but biggers can't be chooser. Shea has been fantastic.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Now, before diving into my next theme of the game, it is time to take a quick break and talk about two of my favorite restaurants in OKC and sponsors of tonight's podcast, Dave's Hot Chicken and Spark OKC. The East Hollywood pop-up sensation turned fast casual superstar Dave's Hot Chicken is now serving Oklahoma and Bricktown, Edmond, and coming soon to Chisholm Creek. They're expanding everywhere in the OKC metro. No excuses not to check them out. Their mouthwatering sliders and tenders are offered at 7 spice levels, ranging from no spice to Reaper, which requires a signed waiver for those who dare. Each piece of hand-breaded chicken is spiced to order using a blend crafted specifically for its heat level or no spice at all, along with sides of house-made kale slaw, creamy mac and cheese, and crispy seasoned fries. And try the new Dave's Not Chicken. Cauliflower slices that taste just like Dave's Hot Chicken, but they're not. Visit Dave's Hot Chicken in Bricktown, right next to Fuzzy's Taco Shop before or after the next Thunder game. And I am actually really excited because tomorrow, Friday, I will be meeting my good friend Nick Crane and my other good friend Jacob Niffen, co-host of the Uncontested Podcast. We'll be meeting up at Dave's for a lunch since Nick is in town. So can't wait. We'll be sure to post some pictures from the Uncontested social media feeds. We're really excited to get into Dave's and get some of that hot chicken. However, if you're not in the mood for chicken, we have good news for you. If you're in the mood for a burger, it's another great spot for you to check out. That's also very close to Paycom if you're coming in for a game or even if you're just in the downtown metro. Spark joy at Scissortail Park's family-friendly joint Spark. Dive into their menu of burgers, bites, and cold delights. Don't skip the must-try BLC burger. I actually had a coworker get that, and they were just like blown away. I can't wait to try that one. The pink fries are a go-to. You have to get the pink fries if you go. Frozen Peach Club Special, which I really look forward to trying sometime soon, and a rotating custard flavor of the month. Located directly west of the Paycom Center, like I mentioned here a little bit ago, Spark is the best spot to hit before or after a Thunder game, unless you're going to Dave's. We all know two scoops or even three scoops of custard is better than one, so be on the lookout for Spark number 2 and 3 coming to Chisholm Creek and Nichols Hills as they continue to expand as well, just like Dave's Hot Chicken. That will be coming later this spring and summer. Getting into my next theme, the OKC defense still prevails. Not steal, although they did have some nice steals tonight. Another slow start for OKC, a thing coming out of the All-Star break. They let the Mavs shoot 50% from the floor, 46% from three, gave them 16 first-half free throw attempts, and they only had one steal in the first half. Not great, especially when Luka's not playing. Like I mentioned, Josh Green goes out in the first half, which is a big role player for them. They just weren't locked in yet again. Again, it's been a theme that I've noticed and that we've talked about on the podcast since the All-Star break, coming out of the All-Star break here last month. But they settled in during the third quarter, only allowed 8 more free throw attempts for the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavs kept those shooting splits up as a whole. I mean, they were shooting great from outside. Tim Hardaway Jr. just lit the Thunder up. That's actually something I'll get into here in a second, that adjustment there from Jason Kidd. But overall, I thought the defensive effort was much better in the third quarter. In the second half, they were contesting threes. They were much more crisp on their rotations. And then Cason Wallace really led the charge there in the third quarter and kind of led to that adjustment there defensively, kind of led the charge there with the defensive intensity in the second half, which I thought was amazing. And like I said, we'll get into Cason as well. The Giddy conundrum is another theme I have. And like I mentioned, I'm about to read off a tweet from Jacob, and this kind of leads to the adjustments that I mentioned here from each of Jason Kidd and Mark Daigneault when I was talking about the Thunder defense in my previous point. But Jacob tweeted this out, and I thought this was very spot on. In the second half, to start the second half, the Mavs were using Giddy's man, which was Dante Exum, to screen for Kyrie. They were looking for the switch. OKC decided to double instead of take the switch because Kyrie was just absolutely torching them and still continued to. And they were going to live with Exum being the release valve. And what Jacob means by that is it's either going to be a pick and pop wide open three for Exum, or maybe he's able to drive to the rim and create. You're going to live with that. Just like the Mavs were going to live with Josh Giddey and Lu Dort hitting outside shots there in that first half. The Mavs responded by that because it was working so well for the Thunder, the way that they were defending that pick and roll by subbing in Tim Hardaway Jr., who I mentioned was just torching the Thunder there. That was a great move by Jason Kidd. And the OKC responded by bringing in Gordon Hayward. And there's a whole other theme I could talk about with Gordon Hayward and his performances, his fit. But that was a great kind of back and forth there from Mark Daigneault and Jason Kidd, the tactical adjustments there. And I just found that really interesting. Yeah, and that kind of goes back to my theme I mentioned with the defense. So that was cool to see, like in a almost like a playoff environment. This is something we have to look forward to come playoff time. Now, just continuing to touch on Josh Giddey, because Josh Giddey got subbed out there. Bringing this back to Josh, TNT had a segment in the second half showcasing how Giddey was being guarded. spoiler alert, he was not being guarded. Now, like I said, Giddey continued to play aggressive. I don't even think I've read off his stat line yet. And if I did, I apologize, but I don't think I did. 18 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 8 of 14 from the floor for Josh. Extremely efficient, 2 of 7 from 3. that's the issue right there, kind of what I'm getting at. He had one steal and one block. Like, Josh had a really good game. I'm not here to just like poo-poo on Josh. That's the conundrum that I'm getting at with Josh Giddey. It's like Josh is playing well, much more confident, and now we're seeing how that looks like when Josh is still playing well, but defenses, opposing teams are still defending Josh with their center and leaving him wide open from three. Like I said, Josh's performance kind of highlighted by an insane one-handed dime at the top of the key, splitting two defenders to a cutting Chet in the third that put the Thunder up by nine. He's still impacting the game, even when he's being guarded by that. But even then, like, Josh can't be passing up those wide open three-point attempts when he's being guarded by the opposing center. And that led to some stagnation from the Thunder's offense. And so it's something to really keep an eye on now, maybe more than ever. Like, when Josh isn't playing well, it's very easy to say, okay, just sit him. But that wasn't the case tonight. Josh played a solid game. So how do you make him more effective? And how do you make this offense work, especially when Shea's off the floor, when the Mavericks are guarding him like that? So that's the conundrum that I'm getting at. I thought Josh had a really good game, but it's going to be interesting to see when he's playing this well, how the Thunder are able to adjust when defenses continue to guard him like this. Then my final point here, before I kind of go into my bonus point, Cason Wallace is special, very special for a rookie. We've talked a lot about this over the past couple of weeks, how he's just scratching the surface of his game. I think Mark Daigneault had a quote that we talked about after the last game where they want to get the ball in his hands in the offseason and just see him grow in that regard. But the interesting thing about Cason Wallace, if you're like, you didn't watch the game and you're listening to me say this, you pull up the box score and you're like, well, Cason Wallace had 3 points, two rebounds, three assists. He was only one of two from the floor, had two field goal attempts. But it was the defense, like I mentioned. One block, two steals, and I thought he maybe played the best defense on Kyrie Irving than anybody on the entire team, especially there in the third quarter. And for Cason to have that impact is just significant. And that was kind of, again, I keep having these like games that kind of wrap up and summarize these themes for each of these players that I mentioned so far tonight. But Cason had another one of those plays, or another one of those series, I guess, there towards the end of the third quarter, where he's guarding a driving Dante Exum, completely stonewalls him. I thought Dante Exum was going to be concussed. Thank goodness he wasn't, because the Mavs continue to just be plagued by injuries. But just stonewalled Dante Exum, resulted in a steal and a turnover, and then immediately hits a three on the other end of the floor. That was his one shot, or sorry, his one make of his two field goal attempts. Thought Cason was fantastic. This is the impact that he can bring on this team as a young rookie. And I think this is something we're going to see more of heading into the rest of the regular season and into the playoffs as well. Just really impressive stuff from Cason. Obviously want to see him to continue to expand his game offensively. But I mean, he continues to impact the game at a high level. I had another thought there about Cason and I lost it. Typical solo post-game podcasting. But anyways, really impressed with Cason and his performance, even if he didn't light up the stat sheet. I think that's absolutely worth a mention. I mentioned the refs. Again, I don't want to just like harp on the refs on a podcast, especially in a game of Thunder 1, and it would be even worse if I did that in a game that the Thunder lost. But there were certainly some interesting calls there. I'm trying to think now. I had them pulled up. Let's see. There was the goaltend where I believe it was Gafford who pinned the ball off the backboard after Chet's shot had already hit the backboard. And they didn't, or no, it was Shea. Shea had an and one attempt. It should have been a goaltend, but instead they still kept the foul call on Shea, but they didn't call the goaltend, which is just absolutely terrible. Shortly after, a couple possessions later, Kyrie went down, traveled. They didn't call that. And that was a huge swing because Kyrie ended up getting 2 points for the Mavericks. There was the clear backcourt call there that I think, was that in the first half? It's all blending together. And then there was like the two plays that Mark Daigneault challenged, he was successful on, but also were two terrible calls. Just really interesting. And again, it's hard. Like, I know there's going to be so many Mavs fans because this is the day and age that we live in where they're going to tune into this post-game podcast and just want to hate. There's a lot of trolls out there, Thunder fans and Mavs fans and everybody. But they're going to listen to me say this and say, well, Shea had 15 free throw attempts. And let's look at the foul discrepancy here. If I can pull it up. The Thunder were called for 24 fouls to the Mavs 20. So there you go. All that being said, I understand like the free throw merchant narratives out there about SGA. But regardless, I thought the refs were not great tonight. And it is something to kind of like look into. I know Tom Haberstroh, Ethan Sherwood Strauss. There's a lot of people at Bill Simmons has been on this. Ryan Russillo. They've talked about this like kind of low key adjustment that the NBA has made with their officiating to try and hamper some of these like bonkers scoring numbers and games that we've seen, scoring performances that we saw prior to the All-Star break. Shea still obviously got 15 free throw attempts tonight. So I can't be too concerned there, but again, some very interesting foul calls. I think that is all I have here. And I'm really proud of myself. Usually I ramble and go on for like way longer than I should, but I was shooting for about 25 minutes here with this being a late night post-game podcast. You guys have lit the comments up. I'm just quickly going to try and pick a few to touch on. It makes for bad podcasting. But on nights where we're going solo, I think it's worth the pauses in podcasting just to pick through some of these comments and interact with you all. A lot of woofs, a lot of dogs barking. Love to see it. It was unfortunate we didn't see that in the post game. Jay Will came up to Shea. I thought we were going to get it, but we did not. He has quickly tapped Shea on the shoulder, gave a big smile, and we did not see any barking. We have Devin checking in from Pennsylvania. That is awesome. Griffey is shouting out my spit take. He said Taylor had to try so hard not to go at work rewatching the spit take. Griffey, after the podcast, I went and pulled it up. And showed it to the guys, and that is probably the hardest, which is really saying something, probably the hardest we've laughed after a podcast maybe ever. That was an all time. Hey, I'm getting a lot of comments about Taylor. Please keep this podcast long. One was saying Taylor is on the podcast. It'll be a 2-hour podcast. Ibrahim, my guy, is saying, Taylor, please keep this podcast long. I love the lengthy podcast. Okay, well, I'm letting you down a little bit because I'm actually making time. Again, a lot of comments. We're just going to Topher mentions need to shout out Kaysen Wallace. He is solid on Kyrie when Kyrie was taking it to Lou. I touched on that. J-Dub was more efficient on defense guarding Kyrie. That's from Kamel, which I completely agree with, and I touched on that as well. Let's see. Smoot says awesome that we have so many different types of wing defenders on this team. I could not agree more. And again, this is something that I didn't have as a theme, but this is a good opportunity to touch on it. Gordon Hayward played kind of the exact same. He's coming in, he's providing good defense, he's creating for others, but just isn't doing a lot more. Meanwhile, Kenny Hustle, who we all love, fan favorite, continues to really struggle and just not be very impactful. It's not like he like played awful tonight. He just wasn't doing anything. So his minutes, he didn't get the minutes accordingly. But Wiggins, let me pull this up really quick and then we'll get out of here. Aaron Wiggins had 9 minutes off the bench compared to Hayward's 21, Isaiah Joe's 18. I mean, I'm not comparing that to Isaiah Joe. That's fine. So he had 9 minutes off the bench. Kendrick had 6. Kaysen Wallace had 18. Well-deserved. And like I mentioned, Gordon Hayward had 21. I get wanting to implement Gordon and try to get him acclimated with the team. I just can only imagine what that looks like. Back to Smoot's point, if you're playing Aaron Wiggins a little more, he's getting some of those more minutes. I just think it's going to be way more impactful on both ends of the floor. A lot of people talking about the refs. Yeah, I think that's good. Probably a good time to get out for. Thank you all again for tuning in. Like I said, me rambling there going through the comments is because you all leave so many good ones. There's so much interaction, and I greatly appreciate all of it. So thank you again for tuning in to the Uncontested Postgame Podcast Edition. Coming up, we have the Grizzlies yet again on Sunday. They will be playing in Memphis. Then they get a couple nights off, well-deserved here to end the season. A couple nights off before hosting the Utah Jazz on Sunday, and then the Raptors Friday in Toronto. And after that, it's going to be a very busy April. There are some Well, end of the March, and then some big matchups coming up in April as well. And here at The Uncontested, we will have you covered for all of it. Cannot wait. We already mentioned some of our watch parties coming up. We got some big news coming up in that regard. We're going to be very active come playoff time, and can't wait for all of you all to join in. Thank you for tuning in to The Uncontested Podcast. And until Sunday, and as always, Thunder up.